Thank you, Mr. Carl. I surely hope that, as our first song said this morning, you know, let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. That as we come to worship today, that it is truly about Him, that we have truly forgotten about ourselves, Lord, and that it is all about us. Have you ever been in that situation where you've almost kicked yourself in the pants because you have missed a golden opportunity? I'm sure we can all think about many times in our lives where we have missed major opportunities in our life. And, you know, some obviously spiritual, but just some in our professional lives, maybe even some in our personal lives. You know, every time I think about this, the missed opportunities, it's kind of funny the way this morning worked out. The first thing that comes to my mind is me learning to play the piano. I have always wanted to learn to play the piano, and I really cannot play the piano at all. I can make you think I can play a little bit, but I cannot play the piano at all. And the thing about it is that I've had many semesters of music theory. I've had many opportunities to take piano classes over the years. My problem was that when I took a piano class, I could play just a little bit better than the other person in the class. So all I had to do for class was to make sure that I played just a little bit better than them, and I was okay for group piano class. So I actually had 4 semesters of piano class under my belt, but I still can't play the piano. So I have all of this head knowledge of playing the piano, but I've never really been able to make it practical. And part of that is because we have always had such good pianists that I've never had to learn to play the piano. And so, obviously, we can't tell Miss Judy that Mr. Marvin and I might have messed up a few times this morning, because we don't want her to really know, really, we know she's the boss on Sunday morning, and we followed her. And since she was here, Mr. Marvin and I just can't decide who's in charge. So please don't tell Mr. Judy that. We've always had such great pianists around here, and so I've never made it practical. And that is something that I look back on in my life that I truly wish that I had taken that opportunity to learn about. But you know, think about us Christians. You know, there are a lot of missed opportunities that we have. You know, maybe we've missed the opportunity to make a positive difference in someone's life. So, you know, something so easy. Maybe we've missed the opportunity to be a blessing to someone who we knew was truly, truly hurting. Or maybe we've missed the opportunity to witness to a lost friend. Or maybe we've missed the opportunity to get a certain job because we weren't prepared when we went to apply for it or at the work that we were doing. Maybe we've missed the opportunity to minister to a relative or to witness to a relative or a spouse or a loved one because time in their life came too short before we were able to witness to them. You know, maybe we've missed that opportunity to make an eternal difference in a person's life that was so close to us, or just a neighbor, just a passerby that we could have witnessed it. You know, God has placed an opportunity, you know, in our lives, and we just can't ignore them. You know, there's an illustration I've heard many, many times, and it's used in several different settings, and it goes like this. There were shoe salesmen that went to Africa, and he was there for 2 weeks, and he wrote back to the company, and he said, "Please bring me home. Nobody here wears shoes." So then they brought him home, and another salesman went over, and 2 weeks later, that salesman called back, and he says, "Send me all the shoes you have. Nobody over here wears shoes." So you think about it, the second salesman, he was seizing that opportunity. You know, and some of you might not realize that, you know, we have the power to bless someone's life, even to death. And we just have to seize that opportunity. You know, and the Bible is full of examples of people, though, who have missed the opportunity. You think about it, the two thieves that were on the cross, they both had an opportunity. One of the thieves realized that this was no ordinary man that he was dying beside. And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Would you please remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And the other thief said, "If you are really the Son of God, get us out of this mess." He didn't want to serve God. He just wanted to be out of his discomfort. That thief truly missed the opportunity. You know, we think about a parable that Jesus told, the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, some seize the opportunity while others let them pass by. Let me read this story real quick. It's in Matthew chapter 25, if you want to follow along with me. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And he goes, "In the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" You know, it was the responsibility of each person to be prepared to individually go with the bridegroom when the wedding banquet came. And we see in this parable that 5 were prepared and that 5 wasted their opportunity and were not prepared. You know, and were not able to go into the wedding. And of course, you know, we know this refers to Jesus' second coming and that we have to be prepared. And this is something that no one can do for us, as we see in that parable. No one can give them oil for their lamps. They had to get it themselves. No one can do this for us. And so it's up to us as individuals to seize that opportunity. You know, we know that our Lord may return at any moment. You know, Paul expressed his urgency in Romans 13, 11, and 12. He said, "Besides this, you know, the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is near to us now, and when we first believe. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." You know, I can't encourage you enough. We do not know the day nor the hour, as Scripture says. But we do know that He's coming one day.
Amen.
You know, as we continue to talk about different opportunities, think about the story of the Good Samaritan, an opportunity to help others. You think about this very familiar story that we're all familiar with. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They stripped him of his clothing, they stole his money, they beat him up, and they left him to die. You know, we can almost relate that to individual things going on today, not necessarily to the exact extent, but that people are beaten down, you know, trodden over, and left alone. And so when you think about it, we have this chance. A certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. He just ignored him. He completely went on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. He stopped and looked, but again, he didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to take part of that opportunity. But we know the name of the story, the Good Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him and saw this hurting man, he had compassion on him. You think about that. As Christians, that's where ministry starts. He had compassion on him. And he showed that he had Christ in him and that Christ was coming out of him through that compassion. You know, it's amazing things that we'll begin to see when we're moved by compassion. You know, the Bible says that he ministered to him, he bandaged up his wounds, he set him on his own animal, he took him into an inn, he paid the guy out of his own pocket. You think about that. He took all the strife and all of the discomfort and all the unknowns on himself because he chose to think of that other person over himself. Isn't that what Christ does for us every day? He went to that cross for us. He chose our comfort over his. Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap, if we do not give up. So then we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Colossians 4, 5 through 6 says, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let us each always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." You know, when I read that passage, it didn't hit me when I put it in my sermon. That phrase, seasoned with salt. You know, as you kind of just read through it real quick, sometimes you may kind of read over that, but let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. You know, and I couldn't help this morning when I was looking over it. And I heard Julie and Daniel coming in, and I couldn't help but think about a play that we did with them. And because I didn't write this down, I may forget something, which is usually what happens when I teach. Is that we did a play, and in the play, a father asked a daughter, "How much do you love me?" And she said, "I love you as much as salt loves meat." And the father got all upset because the father said, "You don't love me." But you think about it. How does meat taste without salt? It's not good at all, does it? No. And so let us be seasoned with salt. That means let us be good. Let us show the good. Let us rejoice. You know, and so as I read through that, let our speech be seasoned with salt. Let it be nice. Let it be joyful. Let us be like that Good Samaritan. You know, the things that we do and the things that we say and the way that we conduct ourselves is just as much of a testimony to the world around us, you know, even as the things that we say. You know, conducting ourselves with wisdom involves making decisions in our daily life where God is at our focus. You know, and living a godly life also involves making the most out of all opportunities that God gives us. As I said before, you know, life is short. Our loved ones and people around us are dying. And there are people that are dying without Christ. And we can be part of those people that are sharing Christ with others.
Right.
You know, and of course, if we think about it, we don't want to miss the opportunity to help other people, of course. But most importantly, we don't want to miss the opportunity to allow Jesus to rule over our hearts. You know, as we look at a lot of missed opportunities in the Bible, one of the ones that I want to talk about mostly today is the story of Judas. As you think about it, here was a man who came as close to the Savior as humanly possible. And he was personally familiar with everything that Jesus taught. Yet, he remained in unbelief and hopeless for eternity. The life of Judas reminds us that it is possible to be near Christ and associate with him closely, yet become utterly hardened to sin. You know, the call of Judas is not really recorded in Scripture, but like the other 11, he had to leave whatever he was doing and to be engaged and become a follower of Jesus full time. So he had given up whatever he was doing to become a part of Jesus full time. And he had given his life to follow Jesus. He gave his life up, but he truly never gave Jesus his heart. You know, and yet we see, you know, we may think a lot of times when we talk about Jesus, we know that, you know, the Easter story is fulfilled because Jesus did what he did. But we can't say that he was coerced in any way to do what he did. No invisible hand forced him to betray Christ. He alone was responsible for his own actions. Jesus said that he would bear the guilt of his deed that he did for our eternity. In John chapter 13, verse 2, we read, "During his supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." So we know that in some form, Judas had allowed Satan come and work in his life. And he trusted more in Satan than he trusted in Christ. You know, as I said, Jesus had every opportunity to turn from sin. As much opportunity as is given to anyone. He heard Christ say many times not to do the deed he was planning to do. He heard every lesson that Jesus taught in his ministry. Many of those lessons applied directly to him. You think about the parable of the unjust steward. Jesus preached against the love of money, against greed, against pride. Jesus even told the 12, "One of you is the devil." He cautioned them about the woe that would come to the person that betrayed him. So he even cautioned them, and Judas's heart was so hardened, he did not receive that message. Judas listened to all of these messages, but yet he was unmoved, and he never applied those lessons. He just kept up his deceit. You know, when you think about one of our illustrations that we see, or one of our stories of the Bible that we see coming up close to when Jesus betrayed our Savior, is when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus and the disciples returned to Bethany on the outskirts of the city, where Jesus was invited to a meal for Simon the leper. And this is in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read through this. And it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with this fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why is this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what he was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it up for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." You know, to the people around him, this act was shocking and extravagant. You know, this bottle of perfume that would be a yearly wage and would cost a lot of money. You know, but it was a very overact of worship. But obviously perfume, especially an expensive perfume, was designed to be used in small amounts. But as we read Scripture, it was poured out on our Savior. You know, so therefore it could not be reused. And so we see Judas Iscariot, who's under his signs, even had other people agree with him, you know, "We should have sold this. We could help the poor." And of course, Jesus knew why Judas was saying this. And Jesus reprimanded Judas and said, "Let her do what she's doing." Obviously, this may have been one of the final things, as we say, the straw that broke the camel's back. Because in Matthew, you see right following that, what happens? It says in Matthew 26, 14 and 16, it says, "Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver." And from that moment, he saw an opportunity to betray him. You know, think about it. Judas' heart was so hostile to the truth and so filled with evil that Judas became a willing instrument of Satan himself. You know, obviously we know that Judas felt guilt later on. It says in Matthew 27, a little on down the chapter of Matthew, in verses 3 and 5, it says, "Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is that to us? See to it yourself.' And throwing down a piece of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself." You know, as you think about it, his remorse, unfortunately, his remorse was not the same as repentance. He was sorry, not because he had sinned against Christ, but because his sin did not satisfy him the way that he had hoped it would. Mark 14:21 says, "It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." Judas is a tragic example of lost opportunity. He heard Jesus teach day in and day out for some 2 years, and he could have asked Jesus any questions he liked. He could have sought and received from the Lord any help he needed. Yet in the end, Judas was down because of his own failure to heed what things he had heard. You know, when you think about that tragic story of Judas, but in contrast, that same time period, we also see Peter. You know, he didn't waste an opportunity to learn from a bad encounter. I'm sure as Peter looks back on his life, that was a bad encounter for him. You know, on the same night that Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter insisted that he would never stumble. Yet remember, before the night was over, he denied Jesus. And his whole world was severely shaken. You know, we always thought about Peter as a strong, independent person. We're going to talk about that tonight as Peter asked to come out of the water. But that night, when he was confronted He said, I do not know this man. Even though he said, I would never deny Christ. But Peter learned from his encounter. But as you think about it, if we read on over at Acts, after Pentecost, we see a different Peter. And Acts 4 describes how Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, and they were solemnly instructed not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And they were punished for teaching about Jesus. They were ordered not to. And this is what they responded. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Peter didn't waste that opportunity. Peter learned from his lesson. You know, if you think about it, I started out talking about how I've wasted my opportunity over many years to learn to play the piano. You know, and I can look back and think of many times that I have even missed opportunities to show God's love to others. Unfortunately, you know, I can realize those things. You know, and you think about it. Have you missed making a positive difference in someone's life because you were too preoccupied with selfish desires or by simply just having a bad attitude? And you missed that time of making a positive difference. Or maybe you've missed helping someone who was hurting because all you could do was focus on your problem that you had. Or have you been like the Levite, the priest, and didn't stop to help someone in need because it was going to disrupt your day too much? You know, in Matthew 25:40, we read, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Christ clearly said that if we minister to men, we are ministering to him personally. You know, he is identified as one of his people. You know, we see this in Acts 9:4, where he accused Saul of actually persecuting him when Saul was threatening to slaughter Christians. You know, as I mentioned before, I've got all the knowledge to play the piano. Miss Judy was, we used to laugh because I've had at least four semesters of music theory in college. And when we started playing more praise and worship music, things would come up and Miss Judy's like, I've never seen that. But of course, I could tell exactly what it was, but I couldn't play it. I could tell her what it was, and she could play it, but I couldn't. And the reason is I've got all the head knowledge I need to be able to play the piano. But I've never made it practical to move it to my hands. You think about it, all of us that are in here, we all have that head knowledge about Christ. We all heard about Christ. Where we live, we have it on our TV, we have it on our computer, we have so many resources to know about Christ, but have we ever let it go to our hearts? You know, that's what Judas was guilty of. He had that head knowledge. He heard all of what Jesus was saying, but he never made it go to his heart. You know, the thing about it is we cannot waste that opportunity to accept Christ as our Savior and to make him Lord of our life. Because we never know when the time is coming. And just because we lead music at a church doesn't make us a Christian. Just because we've been baptized in the baptism does not make us a Christian, does not make us a follower of Christ, does not make us a believer. Just because we may have sat in a pew for 40, 50, 60, 70 years and listened to more sermons than we can count does not make us a believer. It's what we believe in our heart. It's who we have made ruler of our life. It is what we value, what we treasure, what we put as important in our life.
Yes, Lord.
In Matthew 11:28-29, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
You know, Christ is always there to take our hand. We just have to reach out and ask him for it. You know, this morning, for our invitational hymn, I know that it's always a little different when we have a visiting pastor or someone that's kind of filling in for Brother David. I want to do something a little different. This morning, I've asked that you just have a quiet time of prayer. I'm going to ask Mr. Marvin to come up and play through our invitational hymn. And our altar is open. If you want to come down here and have a word of prayer, maybe pray that you don't have to miss that opportunity. Maybe there's someone in your life that you thought about as we've been sitting here thinking, hey, I should have shared with that coworker. I should have shared with that neighbor. You know, because I don't regret it years later. Or maybe there's a connection in your life today that you are letting get in your way of your relationship with Christ. Truly, you may have a great relationship with Christ, but there's a barrier that you've let get there. Maybe at this time, you need to lift it up to Christ. And so I'm going to ask Mr. Marvin, play, if you will bow your heads, close your eyes, and then I will close some words.